It's time to know your soul. Are you seeking the you within? Has people-pleasing stressed you out? It's time to find your light so you can share your entrepreneurial gifts with the world. Well, Red Rover on over, but the only thing you're breaking through is yourself. This is Soul Amplified. Are you ready?
Hello, and welcome to the Soul Amplified podcast. I'm Vanessa Grace, your host. I'm so happy that you are here, tuning in, listening, and desiring to learn more about yourself. So the thing that I want to talk about today is the emotion of relief. There are so many life situations in which we're going to feel relief. And usually, of course, relief is what comes after something is done and we are glad that it is over. So maybe we have run a metaphorical race and we've worked really hard and we've done really good and we're tired. And so we are relieved that the effort is done. But maybe we also kind of liked the effort that we had to put into it. And then there's other things that we don't enjoy doing, but we know are good for us, and so we do them anyway, and then we feel relief after those are done because the discomfort is over, and so we feel relief. But maybe with that relief, we also feel pleasure or accomplishment, or we feel pride in ourselves because we have done good work. And then sometimes we feel relief just from physical pain, because it's really freaking uncomfortable. And, you know, we've done something to relieve that pain. And so now it is over and we can almost think more clearly, because pain, physical pain, can be very distracting. But of course, emotional pain is distracting as well. So why in the world am I talking about relief in relation to codependency, right? Because that's what we're usually here to talk about. Well, I've had several conversations with clients that when we dug into why they were relieved, the root of that was really, it was a misaligned choice for them to begin with. So I really want to point out that relief is potentially a clue that you have made a choice that doesn't actually line up with what you want for yourself. And okay, the bummer thing about relief is that it only comes after the thing is done. And so it's going to be a retroactive personal awareness, a situation where you have to learn from what you have already done and what is now over. So hopefully you can also use some other clues to figure it out during the time. But if you feel relief when something is over, I encourage you to examine what was happening that you felt relief. Was it one of these other situations that I've mentioned that, yeah, it was hard work, but you really actually enjoyed the hard work and had pleasure during it? So it was like this mixture of hard work and fun and all these other things, but, you know, now you're just relieved because it was so busy? Or is it, you know, another positive situation where you enjoy doing it, but it was, or you don't enjoy doing it, but you knew it was good for you, so now you're happy? So, like, you got to examine the full breadth of your emotions about this previous past situation to really understand what your true relationship to it was. Now, I want to ask you, if you are feeling relief and you're discovering that there wasn't a lot of pleasure involved, or it wasn't a project that you were super excited about, or it was a relationship that actually had a lot of complication to it when you look at it, you know, removing almost this layer of excitement that was more like heightened frenetic energy, and when you remove the excitement, maybe even the danger or the adventure in it, then it actually doesn't have a lot of positive merits left. I mean, when we look at things retroactively and we try and be more neutral about it, we can stumble across these emotions and we're like, oh my God, I didn't really know that was there. So relief can be a great teacher to you because it is going to point out what you need to know. Now, just because you're feeling relief about a situation being over does not mean that the situation was not positive for you in some way, correct? Or that you shouldn't have done it. Because many of the things that I've just talked about are examples of where you could feel relief, but they were positive situations. But I want you to examine, were you living your very own values when you were in that situation? What was happening that caused you to begin this situation? What mindset were you in? What thoughts were on your mind? So I've actually written some journaling prompts for you that you'll find in the show notes so that you can journal why you're experiencing relief and if there was some codependent elements in how you ended up there. Was it a decision that you actively made, or was it just on autopilot that you just ended up there and you kind of don't know how? Maybe that autopilot was a series of small choices, so incremental that you didn't see them. But maybe you were in a situation and then suddenly that situation pivoted and now became, well, now everyone in this situation is now doing this other thing, and that felt misaligned for you, but you went along with it because you were in the situation. Like, you're in a job and the company gets bought out and now they do things differently and it doesn't feel good to you, but you're in that group and you need a job, so you stay. There's lots of other circumstances where that can be true as well. So let's look at some of these journaling prompt questions. First of all, when you're recognizing that you're feeling relief as an emotion, why do I feel relief? What am I glad that it is now over? And be specific. I mean, you could talk about the general situation, but you could talk about specific elements within the situation. Those are the things that you are glad are now over. What was the merit for you of being involved in this situation? So there was a reason that you either agreed to it and actively said yes, or there was a reason that you passively went along with what was happening and didn't kind of jump out of the boat and say no thanks. So what was the merit for you in being involved? Maybe there were things about it that were good or felt good at the time, but maybe you didn't want to stand out. And so jumping out of the boat and leaving the situation felt too visible to you. And so you were saving yourself from being on point, of having everybody see how you were feeling. And so you just went along with it. And that was the merit of it for you. So what was uncomfortable for you about being involved with this? And you could change out the word uncomfortable for what was distasteful. Wow, I can't speak. Distasteful for you about being involved in this. What was inconvenient for you about being involved with this? Or even what was malevolent for you about being involved with it? Like so extreme, like it was really not a good thing for you, but you just wrote it out till the end or until you did say no. And then how was it that you came to be involved with this situation? And when you pull apart the details of some of these stories, you can realize, oh my gosh, I now see how I got there, even though I didn't want to be. And a lot of these answers, but this one specifically, might be very internal. And that leads us to our next question. What beliefs was I living by that allowed me to say yes to this situation? So what was anchored inside of you that felt like, oh, these are rules that I need to follow. These are beliefs and values that I need to follow. And so what was anchored inside of you that you were trying to live by? And then now you're feeling relief at the end. And so were those anchors, or are those anchors that are still there, are they kind of misguided? And maybe they're not anchors for you, even though they are anchors for somebody else. For myself, I definitely have had experiences of staying at jobs way too long, and I should have left sooner. But I was anchored into different beliefs about, you know, I'm needed here, I'm valuable here, which is true, but also somebody else could have been filling my same shoes. So it was like this idea that I somehow was the only one that could do that, which was not accurate. And this was very early in my career. I'm actually thinking about my very first post-college job right now. I worked at this place called the Crisis Residential Center. It was kind of like an entry-level social work job, and it was a shelter for teenagers. There was 12, you could have 12 kids at the same time, all teenagers, and there was all these different rules, and, you know, it was essentially a short-term residential housing situation where they did counseling for the families while the kid was there. But I mean, some kids were only there 5 days and some kids were there 2 weeks. And looking back, I mean, it's absolutely, now that I know way more, like, how are you going to make systemic change in a family in 5 days? Really, it was just a little break for the family before you sent them back home, very likely to a situation that was not going to change. Because I feel like teenagers and children are, when they're having struggles, it's more of a representation of what's happening in the family. Now, yes, I know that they make their own choices, but I feel like there's this other influence happening. So I stayed there way too long, and when I finally left, I think I had felt like I left a little bit of myself there, and it took me a while to get it back. But I stayed that long because of this internal belief that, one, like I mentioned, that I had mattered there, but also that I needed to stick it out. It's that long-suffering element that I've talked about before, where you really feel like you're going to dig your feet in and you're really going to do it, and you can put up with different things. And I was just burnt out from being there because it was a hard environment to be in with all of these really high need teenagers who were doing all sorts of things and were there for all sorts of different reasons. It was almost like I could see myself as this golden person for being there and build myself up for being there. Now, it's not that I didn't enjoy being there at multiple points, you know, at the beginning and in the middle of it. But then when I started to get worn out, I didn't know myself well enough, and I didn't know myself well enough professionally to say, you know what, it's okay to leave. It was almost like I felt like I was a failure if I left earlier than I thought I should. Which, in all honesty, I can't even, like, find within myself the reasons why I thought I needed to stay. Like, what was I attempting to achieve, you know? So, we all have these different experiences that maybe we have stayed in too long. And so, I did feel relief when I wasn't there anymore because I was so tired of not just the situations that I was exposed to and the hardships that the kids were dealing with, the teenagers, but also just the administrative system of the place, but also just the system of the city and how the city that I lived in at the time was managing the needs of these troubled teenagers. Because it wasn't a super huge city like Seattle or Portland. It was like a mid-sized city, and kind of everyone who was in the world of helping teenagers kind of knew everyone else. It was like, oh, there's only a few kind of agencies that did certain things in the social work world, and so we kind of all knew each other. I'm trying to not use the word intimate because that's the word I keep trying to use, and because that has other connotations, but like in a more close way than might happen in other really big cities. And so I stayed there too long, but then I felt relief when I left. So, you know, as I'm talking about this, you're hearing it was a complicated situation, but as I'm talking, you can definitely hear the streaks of codependence in why I stayed there too long, because I was trying to bolster myself up and I thought that I was important. And granted, you guys, this was my first post-bachelor's degree job. I was like, what, 21 or 22 when I was working there, and I did my internship there. So there was just a lot of history with this place, and you have to develop yourself more, you know, then right out of the gate, right out of college when you're working in your field. So it's where I got my sea legs, and I appreciate that about it. But obviously, I wished I had left sooner and not on such hard terms for myself. But I did learn a lot about myself while I was there. So to return to this series of questions that I have for you that you can journal about if you stumble upon that feeling of relief inside yourself. And the last question that I have is, what have I learned about myself in this process, in this thing that you were involved in examining what relief means to you, and how is relief, the emotion of relief, how is that a clue for you that you have ended up in a codependent situation again where you were attempting to please somebody else? And so you said yes. And the ultimate thing is, if you say yes to something that is disagreeable to you, it is your own fault that you are there. You are the one who allowed it. Now, I'm not talking about situations that are more extreme where you're choosing between two awful things. Like, if you don't do it, somebody's going to be awful to you in an abusive way. And you can either say yes and survive, or you can say no and be abused. Although I know you guys are in some of those situations, and my heart does go out to you. But I am talking more to situations where you can remove yourself and you can stand up for yourself and you can speak your own voice. You can make your own choices. And if everyone around you disagrees with your choice, I question their openness to you being yourself. Maybe they have a perception of you of how they want you to be, and if you step outside of it, it is uncomfortable for them. And then that is not altruistic. That is not pure. That is them needing you to fit a certain way so that they can feel comfortable, but it doesn't allow you to spread your full wings and fly. It doesn't allow you to really experience who you are at your core. And that's what I really want to have you happen. That's what I really want you to have happen. I think that's what I mean to say. And I just, you know, I'm getting this image of you having these beautiful, gorgeous, big wings. Maybe they're feather wings like angels. Maybe they're fairy wings that are more like butterfly wings. And you are just making choices and living the kind of life that feels so true and good to you. And it makes your soul sing and your heart is glowing and you're happy. And why would other people not want that for you? And so if you are surrounded by people that don't want you to glow your light, then I think you need to start adding new people to your mix. you need to start adding new people who do feel excited for you. So my opportunity for you to get new people that I have coming up is the Crush Your Codependence Masterclass. You guys have heard me talking a little bit about this. This is my interview series. I have interviewed about 10 people, all on codependency and different elements related to it. Oh my gosh, you guys, these interviews are so amazing. The people that I have interviewed really know their stuff. They are professionals in their fields, and they are also equally as passionate as I am about helping you get better, helping you understand, helping you make changes in your life. Each of these interviews is, you know, just chock full of insight and sometimes their own personal story of healing and how they got where they are, which are always epic. And then they're also giving you each a free gift where if you are feeling called to connect with them more, you can get their free gift and utilize it to help you heal. And it's all very practical so that you can kind of tune in to yourself and utilize this gift. And then, of course, as part of the interview, they're giving you insights and practical things that you can begin doing to help yourself adjust, think differently, and change your life. You guys, this whole interview series is free. It is starting November 1st, and you can go to crushyourcodependence.com to sign up. The interviews will be available for 48 hours when they come out, and there'll be one interview at a time. So there's kind of only one interview out there in the world at a time, and then that link will go dormant, and then the next link with the next interview will come out. But you can buy it if you want all of them. You love them so much and you want to keep all of them. You can do that. There is the option to buy it for $47. So you can head on over to crushyourcodependence.com and check that out. And this is the place where I am offering it first, just because I love my podcast audience so much. You guys are awesome and I wanted you to have first dibs at it. So that is the thing that I have for you right now to help you get new people in your orbit that believe in you. And you can, of course, follow all of these people on all of their social medias, get on their email lists, begin following people that inspire you more so that you can have more of that love around you and more people encouraging you. And there are numerous opportunities in all of these social media situations to build relationships with new people. I have met so many people online that I sometimes feel like I have more friends that live globally and away from me now than live in my own hometown. And that's kind of funny to say, being such a social person. My dears, I really want good things for you. I just want so many good things for you. And I want you to feel happy so frequently that the only version of relief that you feel is that satisfied relief of a job well done, where you have enjoyed yourself and been part of relationships and projects that are fulfilling to you and that satisfying kind of hard work. I'd rather have you feel pride and satisfaction at the completion of something rather than a version of dreaded relief that it is over. So please go to the show notes and check out the journaling prompts that I have made for you and left there. And then, as always, you can sign up for the Transforming Your Codependency text messages, and all the information for that is also in my show notes. My dear, go be amazing. Thanks for tuning in, Soul Sister. Do you want to hear from me more? Sign up for my Transforming Your Codependency text messages straight to your phone every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for inspiration and education. To sign up, text PEACE to 877-338-0875. To spread this message far and wide, screenshot listening to this podcast and share it on social media.
Be sure to tag me. I love hearing how you're growing. Get amplified.